how do our brains keep track of all the things around us? By studying bats flying around in a specially adapted laboratory, avoiding obstacles as they went, Johns Hopkins scientists Ninad Kothari and Mel Wolgamuth have ventured where science doesn't seem to have dared to have trodden in the past. Mel first.
Think about if you're driving on the highway and you are merging from lane to lane, passing cars. You're trying to figure out where you are with respect to those vehicles, and you're trying to move forward so that you don't hit those vehicles. So you have to pay attention to one vehicle, move around it, change your attention to another vehicle, move around that. And this is a very common thing that we do quite frequently in everyday life. But it actually has not been studied in great detail. Very few studies actually record from the brain of an animal as it moves through space and attends to different objects to avoid them as it's doing that motion. So we found the echolocating bat to be an ideal animal for this particular study because we can train them to fly and navigate around obstacles much like they would in the wild when they're hunting and foraging for insects.
And Ninad, how did you actually do this?
So the way echolocating bats function, they produce very loud, intense, high-frequency sounds, which travel into the environment from their mouth. When they hit obstacles, some of the sound energy is reflected back. The bat listens to these echoes that are returning, and this is how the bat can form a three-dimensional image of the environment that it is flying in. And one very surprising and very interesting thing about echolocation is that it enables bats to estimate extremely accurately, as accurate as 1 millimeter. The way bats do this is they record when they produce the vocalization and they record the time when the echo comes back. The time delay gives the bats an accurate measurement of how far an object is.
But do we know where that, for want of a better phrase, that neurological radar screen is playing out in their nervous system? And when there are blips on that radar screen, how the bat is encoding those blips so it knows where the objects or obstacles are and how they are moved relative to the bat as it flies around the environment? How do you try and probe that?
That is where we go into the methods. And so a lot of research in the past has looked at this brain region, which is called the superior colliculus. Past research has shown that this midbrain region, the superior colliculus, encodes for two-dimensional space. It not only makes a sensory map of the region around the animal, but it also enables the animal to direct its gaze to locations in space. And so that is why we decided, in order to understand how the brain actually represents three-dimensional space, to look at this brain region.
So what did you do? Put some electrodes into that region so you could eavesdrop on what the nerve cells there were saying to each other?
Exactly. So what we did is train the bats to navigate in a room around obstacles. Now, once the bats are trained to navigate in space, we put electrodes in the superior colliculus. We can now have a real-time view of what the neurons are telling each other. And now we are faced with a problem that how do we understand what stimulus or what echoes the bats are experiencing as they are flying around?
Because what you're recording is a bunch of electrical impulses coming off different nerve cells, and they're going to change as the bats fly. So
exactly.
Presumably you've got this problem if you've got to marry up where the bat is relative to each of the obstacles to then look for some kind of association between the bat in a certain position and the obstacle in a certain position and it producing a specific and characteristic change in that nerve activity so you can tie all those things together.
Exactly. So in the flight room, we have high-speed motion capture video cameras. So we put markers on the bat's head. And as the bat flies around, we can now get the instantaneous three-dimensional position. In addition to this, we can also get exactly where in space the bat's head is pointed. So once we get the head direction of the bat, we can now record the ultrasonic vocalizations of the bat. So we have an array of 32 ultrasonic microphone channels which are lined all around the room. So wherever the bat flies, we can record its sonar vocalizations. Wherever the bat is in space, we can record its position and its head aim. And now it is basically going back to a mathematical model which we call as the echo model. And now we can start asking questions is how do the neurons in the superior colliculus create a map of three-dimensional space in the bat's brain?
And Mel, do you know the answer to that? How do the neurons in the superior colliculus based on your recordings, seem to be encoding where the bat is?
When we actually have the bat fly in three dimensions, what we find is that these neurons in the supericliculus fire for unique locations in three-dimensional space. So if the bat is at a particular orientation with respect to one of these objects, there are neurons in the supericliculus that fire when these objects at a particular horizontal, elevation, and distance location with respect to the bat.
So is it tunable? Obviously, the bat's not always going to be in your room, so there's going to be a different set of stimuli in a different set of locations. So are these relative to the bat's present location, these cells, that they
yeah.
fire off when the bat is at, say, 2 o'clock and 5 meters from something? There will be a bunch of cells, a population that will go off like a machine gun when it's in that orientation and that position.
That's exactly right. So we talk about it being responsible for keeping track of egocentric space. And like the name suggests, egocentric is centered on yourself. So this particular part of the brain, the supericliculus, it's all about the relative location of objects with respect to the animal. And that's why Ninad was saying that we were reconstructing the head aim of the bat. Because as you move your head around, the position of one object in space is going to change with respect to you. So we always need to know where the bat is with respect to these objects as it flies around in order to reconstruct the three-dimensional tuning of these neurons in the supericliculus. So it doesn't really matter what the object is. It's just whether an object is at a particular distance, horizontal, and elevation location with respect to the animal.
Ninad, what does the bat do with that tuned signal from the supericliculus? How does that in turn translate into better attention for that target on the part of the animal?
That's a very good question. So the superior colliculus is a very important part in the attention network. It sends out projections to the frontal cortex, and it also sends projections to the motor nuclei, which actually drive behavior. So now you can consider the superior colliculus computing this three-dimensional information. It can send this to the cortex for further planning behavior. And the sort of continuous feedback between sensory input and superior colliculus feedback into the cortex can now help the animal plan its next movement or the next location where in space it needs to pay attention to.
So there you go. You've heard of SatNav. Now you know how BatNav works too. Ninad Kothari, and before him, Mel Wolgemuth.